Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
All right, welcome to episode 117 of Radio Labyrinth. We are having technical difficulties, but I'm going to press forward because I'm tired. I've been working all day. Went home after the show this morning, took a 1 hour and a half nap, got up, had something to eat, drove back down, and did a live radio show with Mr. Alan Sanders, who was our guest on the show last week when we talked about his podcast, The Wilder Ride.
Oh, really?
That was
all
a good
those
show.
Movies about. Thank you, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. It was a good show. I enjoyed, very interesting.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like all the audio edits and stuff?
Yeah, all the stuff you filtered in there. You had all the Gene Wilder clips.
It's the first time I've ever done Radio Labyrinth pissed.
Tonight?
Yes.
This is going to be interesting.
No, it's going to fade away.
You think?
It's going to fade away. Yeah. Oh, yes, it will.
I'll probably piss you off even more.
You never piss me off, Ira. I want to find out. Now, you guys have both been gone. So, Ira, hello. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Stephanie, welcome.
Thanks.
Autumn, echoey Autumn.
Hello.
I know this sucks.
That wasn't that bad. That one wasn't.
Well,
that
for
bad.
Her, it sucks because she's hearing hello.
I know.
Hello.
So I'm trying to decide like whether I should do it with one headphone off or what would help. Turning everybody down.
Autumn always turns me down.
Yeah. But I want to talk about The Walking Dead. And
yay, because
so
you finally watched
you do?
It.
I watched this week's episode.
Then I'll go out for a smoke
then. No, you know. Did you watch this week's episode?
I told you it's dead to me.
All right.
See?
We may have to go back. Well, because I watched it. You know, my wife and I had a rare night last night where we got to sit down and watch TV together. So we watched that, and she got up in the middle of it and she went, I'm going to bed.
You guys are seriously hate watching this shit.
So she hates it. We both hate it. I was yelling at the TV last night.
See, I don't have time for that. I can't do it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have time to watch shows I love.
No, I never yell at that. I turned into my grandma. My grandma used to yell at TV shows. And my wife, she yells at TV shows. So now I've turned into them, and I'm yelling at the show. What the fuck? I am so pissed last night. You know what I'm talking about, Autumn.
Yeah, sure.
You watched it, and then the end. Fuck your spoilers. What was
spoilers?
Okay, you guys. We'll talk about it briefly. I don't want to bore you.
I saw the pictures.
I'm so happy
though.
That I never have to watch this show now because everybody hates it so much that I don't have to catch up.
Those first few seasons were grand.
We'll get to it in a minute because Autumn.
I don't know about that.
What?
That the first few seasons were grand because there were plenty of episodes where you were like. Or not episodes, but even like whole seasons. Like
that whole season where they're trying to find the girl in the barn.
No, season two was, I love season two.
Well, I don't remember which season, but I just remember feeling like
season two
when you're recommending the show to other people, you have to say, you got to push through that season. It gets better the next one.
That was probably season three. Maybe, I don't remember.
I hated Shane, so I was glad when he died.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the time, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't like it because he was cuckolding Rick. That kid ain't Rick's.
You know, well, yeah, I doubt it. Well, at least,
then Prison Break doctor lady.
Who cares? She doesn't have any lines. She's barely a character.
Autumn hates that.
She's just dropped in when the writers need to, like, make you feel something.
Yeah.
They can't do it with writing, so they do it with a character that doesn't speak.
So everybody calm down. We'll get to the
No, I'm mad.
I'm calm. I'm very calm.
I needed no calming down.
Calmer than you are, Tim. Calmer than you are.
You want toe? I get your toe. With nail polish.
You mentioned that Jeff is not here.
Right? No, I was about to do that right now. Jeff is not here. He's in Nebraska. And we all love him. Mm-hmm. I've known Jeff for a long time, almost 40 years now. And, of course, knowing Jeff and growing up in the same town, I know his parents very well. And his mother is ill, and he's out being a good son with his brother, and they're helping her. And hopefully everything will work out. And I've known his mom for a very long time, Jean, and I wish her nothing but the best. You know, because in a small town, when you hang out with really good friends and you spend a lot of time, they're aunts and uncles, proxy parents. You know, his mom drove me all over the place.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so it's she's a great lady. Always love when she visits Jeff in Atlanta and going out to dinner and hanging out. So.
Well, I mean, even just hearing that she goes on all those... You know, comedy cruises with
yes.
Him. She's you're like, now this is a mom I want to hang out with.
She has a great sense of humor, you know. And back in the day, she was really involved with the Democratic Party of Pennsylvania. So we went to all these get-togethers and stuff. And was one with John Glenn back in, I guess it was 84 or 88. I don't recall. Maybe, when did he run? 88 probably would have been when he ran for president. So Anyway, Jeff's out there and he'll be back soon, but we wish him well. And of course we wish his mom, Jean, the same. And if you, you know, go on Facebook, just say hi and, you know, cheer him up a little bit.
Oh shit. Since it's a heartfelt, you know, thing, I can't say hashtag fucking Jeff.
You can say hashtag fucking Jeff.
Yeah.
He'd say that about you. Hashtag fucking I.
Yeah, no shit.
Because you've been on a mystery trip.
Yeah.
For the past month. Where did you go?
Well, I was, I mean, I could talk about it. I just can't talk about whose property I was on. But I was doing some work in the Bahamas on a private island.
Okay. Jeffrey Epstein?
Jeffrey Epstein. I just can't.
You're on that island with.
I can't say who it was.
Jeffrey Epstein, the island with where Bill Clinton goes and bangs teenagers.
No, I don't know about that.
I was going to say, yeah.
And Donald Trump.
But listen, if they need any work on that island, I'm the man. And that I know what I'm doing now.
Sure.
He can sand their doors.
Yeah, I mean, as far as a gig.
You're doing carpentry?
Well, it's sort of, yeah. I'm doing
is this a TV show, a movie?
Buildings out there. No.
No?
It's very isolated, man. I mean, you go out.
So how'd you get this gig? What were you doing? Why were you there?
Long story short, a friend of mine sold a bunch of furniture to a guy that facilitates all the properties on this island.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's been going down there the last few years to kind of refurbish all this furniture that he sold him and do some other stuff.
He sold him shitty furniture.
No, it was good, like super expensive shit.
And then he had to go refurbish it.
Well, it's the kind of stuff that needs to be maintained.
Uh-huh.
See, that's the thing about getting like something
I
very
see the
expensive.
Scam.
You know, it's like
you got to milk them. You give them the
Maserati
furniture.
Or something. You got to take it to the special dealers. Yeah,
yeah, this isn't from IKEA.
No,
doesn't sound like
no.
Well, anyway, so my buddy Mike says so they need the some work done on the houses itself. He knows he needs kind of like a specialist, and I kind of do what he needs to be done. So
right.
He's like, well, listen, can we fly you down for a few weeks? You know, I'm like, few weeks, Jesus, I mean. I haven't done anything like that. I haven't been away from my family.
Did you miss your girls?
I missed my girls, but you know it's tough on my wife. I mean, it's
yeah.
I do a lot around the house.
Yeah.
In regards to
was she lazy?
And the house? No, I mean she had to.
Well, like, she works full time.
She works. We both work full time.
You do a lot of cleaning.
Well, I mean, we both do a lot.
Do dad you know? Stuff.
So now she kind of had to double up on everything.
Right.
So it was tough, okay. But the money made it worth it.
Sure.
Because
how
I
were
could.
How were the ladies on this island?
The ladies, yeah. There was nothing.
No ladies.
I'll tell you
so
what.
So you went into a gay furniture store.
Look, it's
that's
not that
on
interesting.
The whole island's a furniture store.
But I will tell you this. I had to take a flight to Fort Lauderdale,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I took a little plane.
One of those puddle jumpers?
That could only fit me and one other guy in it and a bunch of cargo
uh-huh.
to the Bahamas.
Okay.
And I was sitting like in the front. This plane was like from 1981. Oh yeah, two props. Gorgeous ride though. I mean, you're looking down over this turquoise water.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
just and we're riding for like 45 minutes to over nothing.
Yeah.
And you know, off of Florida into
you
the
over
Bahamas.
Something. You over sharks.
Well, you start when you're up there and it's just blue. And it's gorgeous. But I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to be here for a few weeks.
You're like, look at that beautiful like, watery wow. grave.
Well, but you start feeling wow. isolated.
Can you say that again?
Wow.
Autumn.
What did I say?
Wow.
Wow.
Thanks.
I told you it wasn't interesting.
No, it
but
is interesting.
But then also, you know, there's no stores.
But you can't talk about who was also on the island, right?
Well, no, the only people that were on the island were other workers. I mean, it's run like
I thought like rock stars or something.
No.
It's so secretive.
Listen, I actually had to sign
well,
a
you're
thing.
Amongst
oh, you signed an NDA?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, don't worry. If whoever you sign the NDA about becomes president someday, you can sue them and get out of it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
All right. It is.
that's the new thing. If you were a whore 10 years ago,
oh really?
But you didn't
are
get
you,
enough
are
money.
Are you taking that stance? Are you Tim?
Yep.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
right.
in a grouchy mood.
I love I it. It's great. Love to be here with my papa.
This is the first angry
papa. Put your pants on. We got guests.
Is she not a whore?
She is a
don't slut shame.
I'm not slut shaming. I'm whore shaming.
I'm sex
not?
Worker positive.
Yeah.
She is an actress, Tim.
No, she's not an actress.
And I believe you're familiar with her work.
She's not an.
She is
yeah,
an actress.
She acts like she likes cum on her face.
Yes.
Wow.
Why did I censor myself if you just said
wow.
cum on her face?
Yeah, really? I don't know.
But that's not
are
bad,
you sure
is it?
It's that? I mean, I.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not defending the guy.
That sure doesn't. Yeah.
No, I'm not. But there was a transaction made.
Yes.
A legal transaction. He said,
right.
I want to fuck you, and I don't want anybody to know about it because my married wife just had a kid, so she's wrecked.
Right.
I want she's big right. boobs, and I want to fuck you. And I also want to fuck the Playboy girl. I'll get sure. to her later. I'm going to fuck you, and I may put you on The Apprentice.
I'll let you know. NBC said no, but here's $135,000. Don't tell anybody. Beautiful. She went, okay.
I would have done that.
You'd fuck Donald Trump for 130 yeah. grand?
That's not nearly enough.
I'd pee in a bowl for him, I guess.
Pee in a bowl?
I don't want it in a bowl.
But like if it's shallow, then it splashes up.
Pee in my
it
mouth.
Needs to be like a certain kind of bowl.
Took a harsh turn there, sorry.
I mean, Melania, how did you feel when you first heard about this whole thing?
She's being a bully.
You don't care. You don't really care about this shit, do
no,
you?
No, I don't care. We have loveless marriage.
You probably have some kind of an agreement. I know that. That's why, I mean, well, you hear people on the radio and TV talking about Melania going, oh, and you know, is she going to be devastated? Yeah, right.
No, she
is.
Bam.
Of course
not. She's like, just take care of our autistic son.
Artistic? Autumn, are you there?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I did what Jared told us to do in the text, and it's you're still echoing.
It turns
echoing.
Me off. It really turns.
It is to punch the program too, but okay. So
that's what we said he would say.
Now I can't hear Autumn, right?
Camera one.
Oh, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can. Would I put program two back on? You know, we're not going to worry about that anymore.
Okay, sorry. I just thought I would send it to you because he sent it to me.
But you don't sound echoey now, though.
No. But she does in her head, in her ears.
So it's horrible. It didn't change. I was just going to say Melania.
Yes.
She is cold as ice.
Well, of course. She always has been.
She's from Slovenia, right?
Yeah.
My vagina is like putting your dick in a freezer.
Can you imagine? Like, what is she like, fucking a door?
Well, and what, Melania?
Yes.
Well,
for him, I'm sure.
Do you think they ever she probably has an agreement with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won't tell nobody.
Well, what's your agreement with the president, Melania?
No, he can do whatever he wants, and I lay there.
Wonderful. Wait, I love it.
Wait, don't you have a double, though? Remember that photo?
Yes, she's not a good. She got fired.
Oh, wait, but wasn't he
Trump
banging
called
the double,
her to
though?
His office and say, you're fired. It was classic moment.
Classic, yeah. Well, did she give all your dresses back to you and everything?
Yes, they smell very bad now. Wait, sent them to cleaners, but they're not. I don't know what happened.
Is the agreement you stay with him or you get poisoned? is that the agreement? I mean, that's what I'm thinking.
The agreement is I stay here, I go to New York where I'd rather stay.
She gets allergic smelling hay.
I just adore a penthouse view, but he wants me to, you know, come to D.C. stupid.
You are my wife.
I mean, do
goodbye,
you have an agreement,
city life.
Sir, with Vlad, that, you know, he could use some kind of nerve agent on her if she tries to.
I wish he would.
Yeah. I just don't easier. Imagine her, like, if they're part of, if they have an agreement where he can do whatever he wants or whatever, and she also can do whatever she wants, I can't imagine her, like, lusting after anybody. You never
Melania?
See her having any emotion.
Not even like Dolph Lundgren.
Would you have emotion if you were up there next to him? And
that's what I would picture. I'd picture her with, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I must break.
Yeah, and it would just be like this hard robot.
She's like, oh, I love it.
Go for it.
Yes, break me.
I'm going to bust you up.
Because she's a machine. That's why.
She is. She's a robot.
And that's what he was into in that movie, was just like running on machines and doing machine things instead of being in the barn.
Donald Trump is from, you're not talking, he's a machine, yes.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, if we could do like maybe a Russian version of the Burning Heart.
Yeah.
Maybe, while they're banging.
Hearts on fire.
You know what I loved?
Hearts on fire.
I loved when he was responding to those pictures of his hair going up. You know, and remember those pictures where you saw everything on the back?
Yeah.
And at the next
press conference?
Press conference, the speech, whatever he was doing, he's like, we're doing the best we can with that,
that
folks.
Was the best.
Yeah. I loved that.
That doing was the so most great. Real I've ever
I
seen.
I know. Him. He was just like, yeah.
I think he has this vision of what he has to be instead of just being himself.
I think he has Alzheimer's.
Yeah, because he's a salesman.
That's what I think.
What'd you say?
I think he has Alzheimer's. I think he has some sort of senility because he repeats himself like all the time.
That's a sales thing.
No, he's
it's a sales
exactly.
thing.
I don't remember him being like this retarded though, like 10, 15 years ago when he wasn't president. Like when I would
Oprah,
see him, I hated him, but I
didn't
remember
I'm
him being this retarded.
I don't think I'm going to run for president in Oprah because I don't think I could win and I would want to do anything I'd want to do, Oprah.
That is a different Trump. It is like a little bit more relaxed.
He was way more relaxed. He was younger and, he, you know,
I can't even do that one.
Yeah.
Like more relaxed because
He was
his life was more of a vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have a game coming out called Trump the Game. It's wonderful. You're going to like it.
Well, it's funny. He says whatever he wants, but now he has to, in his mind, he has to watch what he says, but he doesn't really.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. What
I
mean? No.
But he knows. He's like, well, I better not say this. Well, fuck it.
If he makes it through this whole shebang, which I'm sure he will, because nothing touches him, he'll make it. I know he will.
I
but,
think I'll go another 4 years.
Oh, God damn him to hell, but he probably will. And then
to run somebody decent.
But I think his campaign song will be like Nazareth or something like, now you're messing
now
with
you're
it.
Messing
you're
us.
Just going to be like, fuck it. Son of a bitch. Like, fuck it. Because, I mean, right. Seriously, his bass would be like. He's not even going to pretend next time around. You know what you're getting.
My name is Dodra.
Nice.
He turns more and more into a wrestler.
Yeah. And now we're back at Idiocracy.
Idiocracy.
Oh, God, are we ever.
Bud Ruckers turns into Buttfuckers.
Speaking of Idiocracy, Terry Crews lost his case.
He did?
Yes.
Against the agent?
Yeah, because the statute of limitations had been gone by.
But that dude's reputation is blair.
Terry Crews just beat the shit out of him.
I mean, he would have, but his point was valid.
Yes.
I'm a big, giant black man. Let me beat up this little dude, and then who's going to look like that
yes,
asshole?
Exactly.
Me.
Right. So he did go about it the right way, and now everybody knows that guy's a creepy prick.
Yeah.
Toucher.
Mm-hmm.
Or attempted prick toucher.
Come on.
Hey, everybody. Sean Hannity here for Radio Labyrinth, and I'm about to read all the patrons. Hey, if you'd like to sign up and become a patron of Radio Labyrinth, you can go to the website. Go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. That's right. /TimAndrews. Anyway, we're going to talk about all the patrons. I'm going to read them all right now. I don't know what order they're in because Tim didn't tell me, but I'm going to get out here on the website and we're going to find out right now. Thank you to Matt Talley, Andrew Hopkins, Garrett Kimball, Mike Spittler, Mark Weiland, Aaron Roberts, JB, Keith Tate, Buck Monterey, Brooks Sizemore, Andrew Harbin, AJ Dysart, Wayne Blair, Jeremy Truman, Dallas Walker, Herb Lamb, Newt Gingrich, Rusty Weinberg, Kevin Stokes, Chad Shepard, Newt Gingrich, Chris Weiland, Ryan Humans, Newt Gingrich, Darren Downey, Dan Carroll, Denise Reynolds, Brian Jackson, Newt Gingrich, Zach Pittman, Beth Van Elswick, Lou Caniglio, Mike Hall, David C. Funk, Matt Carter, Jonathan Wilson, Eric Malmstrom, Colin Oman, Amber Gilpatrick, Wendy Muller, Jose Perales, Nick Frank, Chris Knight, Trent, and last but not least, Newt Gingrich. Just kidding, Dustin Lawler. Anyway, if you'd like to sign up, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews. Anyway.
Stephanie, you were out of town. You were on a little Boston jaunt.
Boston?
Boston.
That's your lady.
I told you I'm tired.
No, I was in Detroit.
Detroit, Boston.
A town of real culture.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You were eating everything in sight.
Oh, God.
I was following you on Twitter.
Oh, God.
Twitter and Facebook. What was it, Twitter?
Instagram.
Yeah.
I tweeted and
just
Instagrammed all my
food. It all looked delicious.
My family came at me with both barrels. I mean, there was just, it was a nonstop barrage. Yeah. I'm just now got off, I think I may have gotten off 3 of the 7 pounds that I put on while I was there. And my first couple days, I was like, oh, I'm not going to let these bastards take me down. I would get up in the morning. My mom lives like right by a marina in the Detroit River. And I would get up and I'd go and walk down by the marina and stuff. And by the third day, it was like, just like Jabba. Let me just Jabba out. Give up. But it was cool.
Isn't that
weird
about food?
Solo.
What, Autumn?
Isn't that weird about food in general where it's like you can't wait to eat it and then once you do and you feel miserable and then you think, well, I'm never going to eat like that again. And then the next day you definitely do.
Oh, God, yeah.
And you justify, well, I'm on vacation.
Oh, that was...
I'm home.
Calories don't count when I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, I was totally doing that. One night, you know, Better Made Chips, you know, you can order them online.
You brought some for us once.
I did.
And they were really good.
One night, me and my mom came back to the to her place, and she started watching The Office. So, like, we watched four seasons of The Office while I was there. She,
oh my God, that is the dream.
Oh my God, Autumn, she laughed her ass. She, I had such a good time watching it again through her eyes.
Was that on Comedy Central?
I love that.
Netflix.
Netflix.
I love some showing somebody.
Oh, Diversity Day. Mom during Diversity Day.
Oh, I
thought she was going to die. That chair model. Chair model killed her.
Chair model's great.
There was so many ones. But anyway, but when we went to go see Annihilation.
You saw it?
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't like it?
I loved it.
Oh, okay.
My mom, like, as soon as it ended, as soon as the credits came up on the screen, she turns to me so loud. She goes, "Steph, worst movie I've ever seen in my life." Just so loud. I mean, everybody in the theater just started giggling. That Natalie Portman sci-fi movie.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to see it because I was reading the book.
Well, then, it bombed.
Well, when I liked it. And then when I got back, you know, I told you guys, and then Jeff sent me a thing saying, yeah, your mom was right.
Oh, yeah. He didn't like it either.
You know what? You know how I knew it was going to be a bad movie?
What?
I saw the trailer.
Oh, get out of here. I thought it was good.
We took four women and gave them guns.
Yeah. Oh, it's not even like that, though.
But the book is like that, too.
Yeah, I don't care about that, but they always cast the wrong people.
It was very
Natalie Portman is a terrible actress.
She was good in this. I think she's pretty wooden.
Black Swan.
She is only
perfect role for her to be wooden.
I only like her when she's a complicated character, like in Black Swan. And she was complicated in this movie.
V for Vendetta. I thought she was good
the
in
professional
that.
When she's a little kid.
Yeah. Mm.
But yeah, any kind of if you try to put her in a regular movie, no.
Oh, that one where she was like pregnant. And she lived at the Walmart.
Screw that. Yes, terrible.
Or any movie with Star Wars in the title.
Yes.
Oh, all those don't exist. We don't talk about that.
We don't.
But my only other Detroit highlight that I want to tell you guys about, which was so weird, is my sister, she just bought a new house at Detroit Beach. Yes, it exists. So
it's on a lake. Come on.
It's still a beach.
So me and my mom were driving down there, and she just lives, you know, about 20 minutes from my mom, straight down the strip. And we're heading over there, and I just look out, and we're in this farmland in Monroe, and I look over to the left, and this big-ass nuclear power plant. Two big ass stacks of the Fermi plant with just smoke pumping out of them. And I was like, what the hell? She goes, my mom says, oh, that's the Fermi plant. And I've always heard of the Fermi plant.
Enrico Fermi.
I guess. I don't know. There's a big S on the outside. I thought it was for Silkwood. I wasn't sure. But there's a big S in the grass. I don't know why it's there. But anyway, so my sister lives like 2 minutes from this nuclear power plant.
Do her kids have like six eyes? Oh,
not yet. She's already 16. But my mom had told me on the phone, oh, yeah, and then she lives right by the little beach there, and she can walk over and get in. We drove by there. So if you do go to the beach, you'll be sitting on the beach staring at these damn things across the lake. So
it sounds lovely.
It's like an episode of The Simpsons. I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that. It's right there.
Once you get used to the smell of burning hog fat, you'll wonder how you ever lived with that.
Enrico Fermi is a physicist, or was. And he has been called the architect of the nuclear age and the atomic bomb.
Well, I did not even know that.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite, this is the best part of the story. So my mom, you know, she lives right down the road from this place. I never even realized it. And so I'm going off. I'm like, God, this is so weird. And, and she goes, well, they send me those iodine tablets every year.
What?
I get iodine tablets in the mail every year. I always have for like the last 15 years.
Did she take them?
No, just in case.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In case there's some sort of a thing.
Wow.
And I was like, what the hell? And you don't think that's not scary?
Nah, we don't mind. They give us iodine, you know, so if it melts down, I mean, you know, I won't lose all my hair or get lots of sores because I get the iodine.
I don't know, though. I'm into nuclear energy.
Nuclear energy is good if the place is new and safe, but they're not allowed to build new ones anymore.
Yeah, because everybody's freaked out.
Are you into it to the point, Autumn, where...
Would you live near it?
Would you build a beautiful house facing this power plant like so many of these people have?
Oh, them steam towers is nice.
I mean, it does look ominous.
Oh,
I'm not going to deny that. But, I mean, if you're talking about, like, how many people are killed in a coal mine versus how many people have been killed.
Right. Look at the
coal mine
meltdowns
doesn't,
or whatever.
Coal mine doesn't kill you for 10,000 years.
You know what I do? I like to go out and see if there's spiders nearby, and I just let them bite me because I'm going to be Spider-Man.
I want to shoot webs out of my wrist.
Yeah, not out of my wrist.
Oh, yeah.
I want to shoot it out of something Spider-Man. Else, then go out to California and be a porn star.
But my sister's house is nice, though. It's a very cool house.
Where you say, I am going to buy the for sale sign, and... we're going to stick this in the ground, see, and then you're going to come with me.
Nobody thinks fucking iodine pills in the mail. Yeah. Here you go.
No big deal. No
Don't
big
get
whoop.
Cancer. Hope your thyroid's fine.
That's smart. I think that's great.
It is great.
We actually. Sent letters to those people. I mean, what do you want from us?
Look, if there's a meltdown, we're covered because we've been sending out these expensive iodine pills to everybody. That shit's hard to make.
It's the fact that my mom has been getting these in the mail for 15 years and just never, ever mentioned it.
What does she do with them?
She just put them in a drawer and you have to store them in case shit goes sideways.
Neighbors are dumb. They threw them out. Well,
dummies.
$20 a pill.
Gotta do that hard iodine.
Oh, yeah. They like snorting up.
Snorting iodine.
Snorting up. I wonder if they had to do that at 3 Mile Island. Because that place almost melted down.
Right.
And I lived in Pennsylvania. That's that great lie I told in 1978. I told everybody in third grade that, for show and tell, that I've told this story. But I told everybody that I went there to hear Jimmy Carter speak.
I don't know the story.
I told everybody in third grade for show and tell that my dad and grandparents took me to
just for the fuck of it, like
Harrisburg to hear the president speak. And
because the kids were going to be like, ooh.
Yeah, they were actually. And then the teacher called my mother that night. And my mother went, no, he didn't go to fucking Harrisburg. And he also doesn't have a Shetland pony, which is another lie. I have a Shetland pony.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I wanted a Shetland pony.
I want a pony.
Make it happen.
My grandparents' neighbor did have a Shetland pony. So I said I had a Shetland pony. I never had anything cool to bring to show and tell.
No, I told them the rubber boots. Over summer break that we went to Disney World and we didn't go.
That's an innocuous lie. I mean, that's something everybody would believe.
There was someone in my class, Marty Showalter.
Fucker.
He said that he was a cop and then he had a motorcycle.
Yeah.
I mean, kids lie.
Yeah.
You try it on to see how it feels.
They lie their asses off.
Yeah.
And then the bitch calls your mom.
Right. Yeah, that is the most messed up part of the story.
And then the next day in class. And I still remember this vividly. Yes. She has me stand up.
She traumatized you.
Has me stand up in front of the entire class.
Oh, and she knew that you were bullshitting.
Yes, and she told everybody that I had lied. And
that's bad.
And she said, you know, you don't need to lie to get people to be friends with you or to like you. She goes, I think everyone in this room likes you, Tim. And then she goes, put your hand up if you like Tim.
What?
Now, imagine how bad I feel. Imagine how bad they felt. Having to put their hands up if they didn't like you. I mean, that's total uncomfortable for kids, which isn't as uncomfortable as the teacher who wanted to show me his dick.
Oh, yeah, well, that.
And this was in fifth grade.
Tim.
No, this is a funny story.
It sounds great.
It's a
great
so now you're lying
funny
again.
Story.
No, this is a funny story. So we used to draw Stu. You guys, we've had Stu on the show.
Sure.
You've met him.
Stu.
And Stu? What Stu?
Autumn and I went to his wedding.
No. Yeah.
Which one?
Second.
I didn't go to the third or the fourth, but I went to the second.
So we went anyway. So we used to draw. Stu's aunt was our fifth grade homeroom teacher and our teacher. So her name.
Oh.
So she was great, and we would sit and doodle and draw and have a good time. And you know, we were drawing Dukes of Hazzard cars, and then Stu and I came up with things like the Boogermobile and Booger Man or Booger Boy and Snot Boy, and it was just very offensive things. And we had this one friend, Phil. And he drew a truck, and it was called the Poop Pipe. So I drew a guy who had a boner. Now, I didn't really know what a boner looked like in fifth grade, because we didn't have porn. This is 1980.
We were so deprived.
Well, no. I mean, you're not supposed to know what boners look like when you're that age.
Well, unless you find, like...
Well, your own, but it's the size of a thumb.
Well, I found some dirty magazines in an alley.
Yeah.
So that's how I found out.
I mean, that's a good place to find them.
Yeah. They were all torn up back there. I don't know what was happening.
Were the pages stuck together?
Yeah.
See, that's...
It was me and my friend, we found them back there.
You didn't know why they were stuck together. Oh, it must have been wet.
I just thought it was gum.
It rained.
Oh, come on.
Rhymes with gum.
I mean, it tasted like gum.
So, ew. That was funny. So I drew this guy, you know, with a boner. And then I felt weird. Like, I don't want the teacher to find this. So I crumpled it up. And I got all nervous. And so I said, I got to go to the bathroom. And I took it down to the bathroom. Throw it away in the bathroom. And there's a teacher standing there staring at me. And this guy didn't like me anyway.
Yeah.
Because I would wear rubber boots, green rubber boots, fisherman's boots. And he'd always say, don't wear those.
This story is getting more and more. Yeah,
we were poor. And I had boots and it was raining. So he goes, what do you got there in your hand? And I said, nothing.
Oh, shit.
And he goes, well, it's obviously something. What do you got in your hand? And I said, I'm just going to the bathroom. And he took it out of my hand. He opened it up and he goes, what is that? And I said, a member.
A member only. How old are you again?
10 or 11. Okay. I didn't want to say, you know, penis.
He said, remember what?
I said, no, it's a member. Oh, it's a member, remember? And he goes, is that what a member looks like? And I said, I guess. He goes, do you want me to show you mine? And
what?
Then, hey, Owasa.
Yeah.
Can you do a thing on him now, or is it past statute?
Right. Oh, statute limit.
Listen.
What'd you say to him?
Hang on. I'm
done. Yeah?
Wait. It gets worse. So I was embarrassed. I said no, and he took it and threw it away or whatever. So later on that day at lunch class, all the kids in his class were laughing, going, hey, show us your member. So not only did he embarrass me face to face, he went back into the classroom and told all those kids.
Oh my God, what a horrible fucking school you went to.
Fifth grade.
People can sniff out victims.
Yeah?
They really can. That's why, just like a wolf can figure out which, you know, I don't want to say wolf.
I don't
want to
be a victim. I thought I was over it.
Which lion can...
At the time.
I'm sorry.
You're over.
I can't do this because I'm echoing in my head.
Sorry.
Just like a lion can figure out which gazelle is the weakest to go after so that they don't waste all their energy, victimizers can sniff out victims.
Well, that makes sense, Autumn.
Yeah.
And they found you. That's what they did. Those two teachers found you.
Yep.
I didn't get molested, almost, but when I was in fourth grade, I started in a predominantly black school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never been there before. We moved to this different neighborhood. And the first couple of days I was there, which it was always kind of rough for me there, but the first couple of days was really bad. And these two boys, Maurice, one of them, and then the other guy, Jeffrey, when I was leaving school, they jumped me in the playground area, right?
Damn.
And they were like kicking my ass or whatever.
Oh.
But no, and that would have been okay. Because, you know, you could just go on from that. And, mm-hmm. and I did. But my step-grandmother, who was also new to me, because my mom and my stepdad had just gotten married, she's standing outside the gate waiting for me. And she screams, leave her alone, you ninjas.
Oh, God. That didn't infuriate them. Did that infuriate them?
It didn't. I mean,
didn't
they,
help.
They stopped. But, yeah, it made my life pretty shit. Rough there at that school.
God.
Reminds me of a Kentucky Fried movie. You know that?
Yeah.
It's like, thanks for the help, new grandma.
Could you imagine?
Thanks so much.
No kidding. Could you imagine that happening today? Because I can't.
You're getting your ass kicked and you're like, I'm sorry she said that.
I feel so bad. I feel so, ow.
Oh, look, listen, I'm telling you, when I hear her screaming it and they're like kicking my ass, I'm like, please don't let them hear it. Just keep beating me.
Shane's better leave her alone.
I figure that one's old and enough that you can say it without getting in trouble.
Oh, Jesus.
No one says that.
No, I certainly do not.
No, I've never met anybody that said that and meant it. It's a couple of Shanes that moved in down the street.
It's only in Scorsese movies.
Yeah, right.
I don't even know who that's referring to.
Black people.
Yeah.
Shines?
Because they're shiny.
Oh, what? They're not like because they're shoe
Is that
shoe
what that came from?
Might have been shoe shine.
That's what the Dago Wap bastards call them.
Yeah, the Dagos. The Guineas. The Italians.
See, we can break their balls.
I knew Guinea
and call them
names. Only because of Jersey Shore, and they call their wife beater shirts a Guinea tee.
Yeah,
that's the only reason you know about it.
Yeah,
I don't know what it means though.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, Moulin Yan is a racial term, but that means eggplant.
Yeah,
and that's derogatory.
And now that means dick.
Yes, it does.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, eggplant means dick.
Yep,
that became dick.
I think racial slurs are the stupidest things. Because they don't mean anything. And, you know, there's one on Twitter that mostly people of color use against white people, and it's called Y-Peepo, W-Y-P-I-P-O, Y-Peepo.
Oh, wow.
And Y-People.
Why people be doing this and why people be doing that. Right. And they're funny. And I see in the threads people getting upset, like white people getting triggered and
Really?
Yeah.
There's never been a slur that's bad. I mean, there's never a slur that's ever upset us. We don't care.
Well, I don't care. I mean,
there's none that can get us.
Nobody should care about it at all. And I, you know what? I think that people of color don't care either.
Well, they care in who it says, though. I mean, who says it?
I get pissed off at when I've been called some kind of, you know, quote-unquote white slur in the past when somebody's been accusing me of being racist.
Yes.
So they use that on me, thinking that I'm really not.
Right.
At all. I didn't do anything. But it's like, oh, come on. So you're gonna start with that,
right?
Trying to egg me on to.
Well, it's really just another word beside like asshole.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
if they're just trying to come up with something to call sure. you.
Well, yeah, and people think that if it'll hurt you, then it makes...
Right, but and that's the only reason. Just, and that's the only reason why anybody does it. And I don't understand the people that are like, my white heritage.
No, oh no God. Kidding.
And they're trying not to be right. Like, yeah. let's just take it that they're not racist. But for some reason, they have some heritage and like, you know, feeling in their pride of their white Caucasianness. Like, who gives a shit?
Exactly. And let me tell you something. It's not white pride. It, if anything, it's Europe. Centric, mm-hmm. okay,
and but let we me have no connection.
Well, let me
Europe.
Tell you one thing. You're right. We don't, and you know why? Europe used to be exclusively white and Christian, and you know who ran it? Were the kings of all those individual countries who were granted rights by God and the Pope to rule those countries. Well, a lot of their people left, and they came to the United States. And when they came to the United States, they all dealt with the same thing. The Italians hated the Brits, the Scots, the Irish. The Irish were horrible. Everybody hated the fucking Irish. And the Poles came, and they didn't like the Poles. And then the Ukrainians came, and they're weird because they celebrate Christmas at a different time. And, you know, and that's just the way it's always been. This country took in everything. Mm. So once that happened, and once the United States became a country about individualism instead of, you know, this jerk-off king shit and lords and all that bullshit, all that went away. Okay, so 1960s, 65, we changed the immigration law in the United States to take in people from non-white countries for the first time ever. And you know what? Who gives a shit? Because you know what? It was getting pretty stale. Now, I'm just rattling on and on here, and I'm going to shut up in a second.
No, this is interesting shit.
But this white identity bullshit is stupid. Because in order to believe in it and in order to practice it, you have to be a racist. You absolutely have to be a racist. Now, I, you know, they make fun of me on the show, call me a nationalist or whatever.
Yeah.
And Eric will say, but he, you know, he just happens to be white. I take the idea of your country first, and I don't care if you're black, Chinese,
right.
Latin.
You're a part of this country.
This country,
even if you're not white.
Is everybody that lives here, Indians, whatever, doesn't matter. Everybody that lives here. And I think that the country should come first, and it always should come first, and they should continue to teach about the history of the country and say, and you know, they did bad shit too. Mm-hmm. But overall, the Constitution's a good thing, and this has always been a great place to come, whether you're coming from Scotland or Somalia. So, you know, they tell you the people that come here, and boy, am I really getting off on the rails.
Well, you know.
You're doing great.
But you go in, and you go to a, you go into, I did this all the time when I worked on morning radio. I'd be at the convenience store at 3 o'clock getting coffee. I would sit and talk to the guy for half an hour. In fact, I would leave earlier so I'd go talk to the guy, or talk to the girl working there. I became friends with him over off of Shambly Dunwoody. I would talk to them. And one guy was from Ethiopia, and he would tell me all about it, you know, the country and have the paper. Another lady was from Uganda, and she was telling me about that. And it was fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And they're here, and they're here, and they want to work, and they love America. And
if you are from another country and you're being successful, or you find any success here, it's because you have hustled.
Yes, indeed. People don't come here and loaf around. And if they do, there's opportunities for that as well, but
there are, and they're just making it, or they're not doing great.
Yeah.
They're, you know, like still working at McDonald's, not speaking a lot of English, but the people who really try hard to integrate their lives, still keep their culture, but integrate their lives into whatever United States is, wherever they are. And then also learn English and sometimes become business owners or just get jobs where they, you know, aren't looked at as just someone who is different.
Well, so in all these,
because of their language or their accent or whatever, you know,
you go back to the 1800s, the Germans didn't understand the Poles, mm-hmm. and the Ukrainians didn't understand the Russians. Well, sure. I'm sure they understood.
But they all
each
had
other.
To work together, and they were all, they all had the same mindset, though. You know, nowadays,
but it's the same thing. It's just they're different color.
Well, I mean, it's like whenever you say my forefathers and whatnot, I mean, I don't really think of them as my forefathers.
No.
My people came over here in the 1800s. There were poor Germans that came over here to mine coal.
Yeah.
They're not really my forefathers.
You
I
shouldn't
mean,
take credit for their accomplishments, and you shouldn't be
we
punished
were always
for their
poor.
Bad
we never
deeds.
Had shit.
Right.
Thing, yeah. You can't have sins of the father, but then also take credit for success also.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to make your own success in this world.
I can definitely
That's why
say,
I do this podcast every week.
I can definitely say from being the minority, at, you know, for several years at school, one or two things either comes out of it. Either you have a chip on your shoulder and you become very racist.
Yeah.
Or I did the exact opposite. it's very humbling, and you understand what it's like to be the minority. And that's why maybe sometimes I'm even overly sympathetic, because I do know what the fuck it feels like.
Yeah.
You can take anybody and drop them in somewhere, and when you're like the only handful or whatever, you're going to get treated like shit. It just is what it is.
We had two black people in my school, in my town, growing up the entire time. Two.
And I'm sure life was grand for them every single day.
No, it was not.
That's what I'm saying.
One of them, by the way, was gay from Africa, so that didn't help him either. Yeah. He acted like a sissy in school.
Bibi Zahara Benet. That's somebody on RuPaul's Drag Race.
No. I'm not going to say his name.
He's from Uganda or somewhere.
And this guy wasn't from Uganda.
He happened to be in Tim's class. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no, he was a friend. And he was a great kid, but, you know, there were other kids in class who would call him
that.
And this one kid, I still remember one time we were in gym class. We were watching something, and it was in the gym. And I'm sitting next to my friend, and I'm not going to say his name. And this other kid goes, sit your ass down, you fucking idiot.
Jesus.
And I didn't laugh. I just looked at him, gave him a shitty look. That was it, you know?
You know what's so funny?
I feel like one of those people that's patting themselves on the back. I'm not doing that. Well, I don't even know how we got here.
Well, it's so funny to me. My sisters, they're like, you know, they're Autumn's age. They're,
yeah.
And they, both of them, my sister, the dental office that I went to when I was up there, I got a bunch of free dental work because she manages this dental office.
Sweet.
She's the only white person in the building. Like, all the dentists are black, all the people that were, or they're Arabic, one of the two, because mm-hmm. Dearborn is the largest.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's the Arabic capital of the United States. Mm-hmm.
I didn't
so,
know that.
Yeah, and so her and then my other sister too. I mean, they both are primarily the only few white people at their job. Neither of them grew up with this at all. To them, like, they don't know anything about this. My sisters are, if you are talking about any kind of racial stuff, they have no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, good.
They have no clue.
Right.
And so my sister, though, when I forgot to tell you this really quick, whenever we pulled up to her dental office, I said, is that the Motown Museum across the street from your office? That's Hitsville. And she was like, oh, yeah. I mean, you want to go over there? I mean, I've never. Yeah, I was like, yeah, let's go over there. It's right across the street from your fucking office. And she was like, yeah, I mean, like, I've never been over there. I mean, she's worked here for 12 years.
Does she like Motown?
I mean, I guess. She didn't know what the hell was going on. We went over there and took the tour afterwards. You know, I'm all shot up with Novocaine and all this other shit. I was like, that's what Stevie Wonder playing the piano.
That's
Barry Gordy. That's fucking hilarious.
It was awesome. And the lady that did the tour, she said, oh, last week Phil Collins was in here. And then last month, Jay-Z rolled up on the set.
That's cool.
He said, hey, I'm just going to rent the place for the day. Me and the wife and Blue Ivy want to come in here and just chill and, you know, check everything out. So they did. And then she goes, and this is sad. Do you know that band Soundgarden? You know, the day he did that, they came in here.
Ooh.
And did the tour. And he was down here in the recording studio, and he was just kind of feeling everything and just talking about how you could feel like the Temptations there and all this.
So you're going in there and touching history and appreciating every minute of it.
You can't touch the piano.
Well, you know what I mean? You're around it. You're around it.
Oh, it's amazing. When your
sister's like, this is mine.
She was into it sort of.
Because she's racist.
Yeah.
She was into it sort of.
I guess my point is that I'm sick of racism.
Yeah.
I'm sick of every thread I go into. I went to the thread today, and then we're going to get off this and start talking about
isms.
TV. But I
no,
went
this
to,
is good. I mean,
well, hang on a minute.
It's I like
a,
it.
I know you do. But we got to anyway.
We're supposed to be being funny here.
Oh, yeah.
It's late night. This is late night labyrinth.
Yeah, late night labyrinth.
Welcome to the late night labyrinth.
Titties is coming out, yo.
See, that's what
social justice.
No, the thread about the bomber, the dumb fucking in Austin.
Oh, right.
Killing people.
They're saying he's not a terrorist?
No.
Or there was no terrorism or something?
Well, yeah, that's what the news hasn't called him a terrorist yet. So he's like, why aren't you calling him a terrorist? White people have killed
him. Sounds about white.
Can we just call him a shitbag?
He is a shitbag. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. And then that
people are too concerned with what race everyone
yes.
is.
Got labels and stuff.
He's a Christian. He was homeschooled. He's an
and, you know,
asshole.
Steph, you're talking about your sisters being similar in age and not thinking about race. That's the way that I grew up.
Not thinking about it, right?
Not thinking about it. And especially things like Sesame Street. It wasn't like, oh, you're different than me or whatever. It was just represented.
Yeah, Sesame Street didn't point out differences. The kids were just there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing it and thinking, mm-hmm. Oh, this is nice. Like, look at all these people.
Speaking of Children's Television Workshop, have you guys seen the trailer for the
Mr. Rogers?
Won't You Be My Neighbor or Be My Neighbor?
Oh, yes.
So good.
It does look good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I recorded something on
It's a documentary about Mr. Rogers. Yeah. And so there's all sorts of archival footage, and it looks really good.
That I'm dying to see that, and that Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
That looks badass.
I love Andre the Giant. Miss him every day.
I know.
He was big.
He was a big fucking... He used to eat a lot.
He sure did.
In the preview where Schwarzenegger said he picked him up, it was like a little baby. He picked me up just like a little baby.
He picked me up like a little baby. I wish I could do a good Arnold. I found out tonight I'm tired and I'm not doing good impressions. You want to talk about some TV for a minute?
Yeah, let's talk about what's...
I finished The Tick on Amazon.
And?
Season two. Well, it was still season one. It was still season one, second half.
I loved it. Fucking great show.
Yeah?
Great
acting.
I
haven't watched any of it yet.
I just finished season one.
I know you guys are into it.
And everybody's good on that show, and I highly recommend it. The acting is enjoyable. I read reviews after I watched the second half. Well, it wasn't as good as the first half, but it is setting it up for season two. It was good.
I love that Peter Serafinowicz guy. He's amazing.
It you who told me? Who told me recently that he was in a whole bunch of other things? Might have been Lisa.
Probably.
Krause. He was the voice of Darth Maul.
Oh, yeah?
And he was the roommate in Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, yeah,
Pete, that's right. Yeah,
it's a bit bitey.
Yes. And it's I didn't know that because he doesn't speak in a British. He's older, of course. That movie's 15 years old. Holy Jesus.
Yeah, and then he was the whatever in the one Melissa McCarthy movie that I really did like, the spy one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was the little love boar.
Yeah, yeah. He's great.
Yeah. He's great.
And the kid who plays,
Arthur,
fantastic. Mm-hmm. His sister, Arthur's sister, was on that show with Kevin...
James?
No, not Kevin James. Kevin Bacon. The show where he was the following. Yeah, she was on that. She was the nutty girl.
Oh, that's right. I was wondering where the hell I saw her.
Yeah, okay. She has that little scrunched up face.
I barely watched that show. I watched like a couple episodes, but I do remember.
I watched the first season, and then I go, I'm tired of this shit.
That's what everybody else did.
Jackie Earl Haley, though. He's great. The Terror.
Yes, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And the other girl, too, the Lint.
Oh, she's great.
She's great.
And Overkill.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I love Overkill.
And the gay boat that he lives in. It's like a live-action Venture Brothers to
you
me.
Would like it. Yeah? It's very smart, and it's very well done.
Let's see. Did you know, I watched the first episode of Britannia, also on Amazon Prime. Enjoyed it. No, I'm trying to get the wife to watch it so we can watch it together.
The wife.
Let's see. Mike Tyson Mysteries is back.
Yes, I've been watching it.
Jesus, it's been funny. Yeah, what was the funniest one to you so far?
I was trying to think of it the other way here because me and Neil, we watch it in the morning sometimes when we're before work because it's they're short.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something you can watch while you're drinking coffee and get your laugh and get going for the day.
You don't know what Mike Tyson Mysteries is?
No.
You'd love it. It's a show on Adult Swim. Where Mike Tyson and his Asian daughter and a ghost and...
Jim Rash.
And then a pigeon who's voiced by Norm MacDonald.
Oh, my God.
I never took you for one of those girls who's comfortable shitting in front of people.
Ugh, I wasn't shitting.
This is like our first date.
I would never go on a date with you.
Oh. Well, maybe you should have mentioned that before I bought your f***ing yogurt. Well, what I can't believe is that young he let me pay for her yogurt, but then won't let me play with her tits. Which is fine. It's fine. But at least blow me, am I right? I mean...
Does it ever enter your mind that that is her father?
Well, I'm going to bed, but be real discreet.
And they travel around in a van solving mysteries.
Yeah. but not really.
No, not really at all. And Mike Tyson does the voice, and he's fucking so funny.
Of the cereal. He was eating the cereal.
Yeah.
That was the last.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Can you give me some cereal? Hey, lady, give me $10. She's weeping. And that was a good one, yeah. So that show's funny. Autumn, you could probably find Bootleg online if you can't.
But sure.
If you have cable, you can watch it on Adult Swim. Just watch one episode.
Yeah,
you'll
cable.
Get hooked.
Yeah, one episode, and you'll okay. You love it.
Let's see. Homeland, you guys probably aren't watching that.
Homeland.
Well, that was another one, like Walking Dead. Like first season or two, everybody's like, this is the greatest show ever. I didn't have Showtime at the time.
It was good.
Well, and I was like, all right, I'm going to get into the show once I get Showtime or whatever. And then everybody's like, ah, it's getting really stupid. And I was like, all right, well, then I'm not even.
Yeah, I watched the first two seasons and I was like, eh.
It's really ridiculous this season because you have a female president who is a hybrid of Trump and Hillary. They had to rewrite the show, by the way, because they thought that Hillary was going to win.
Oh, really?
So it's just fucked up and weird and Russia and. Blah, 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 and Alex Jones, fake Alex Jones. But I like Mandy Patinkin, and I like her. And
Mandy Patinkin.
Yeah, exactly. Can you sing like?
Mandy Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. Mm.
Jesus Christ, Carrie. I can't do him. All right, so, yeah, that's what I've been watching. What have you guys been watching?
I've been watching Babylon Berlin. Babylon nobody Berlin. Else is, because you have to fucking read the thing.
Babylon Berlin. Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
We talked about it before.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, it's... It's really done very well.
I ain't watching those shows with that if I can't speak it, I ain't. Listen, take them Krauts.
It's fucking cool because it's, you know.
It's if it's cool, they can overdub them speaking English.
I mean, first of all, it's $40 million show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's 40
fucking
million.
Fucking pricey.
40 million fucking dollars,
right? German show. Yeah. Subtitles. But I think they you can do the dubbing thing.
Yeah.
They have it on Netflix where it's dubbed just like Dark was. But I don't know. I think it's really nice.
If I'm going to watch something like that, I'd rather watch it with the subtitles.
Absolutely.
So I'm watching it with the subtitles. It's good. You know, it's 1929 Berlin, so it's after, you know, the First War, and they're creeping up
the
into...
The Weimar Republic.
Into Nazism just a little bit, but they're it's like before all that shit.
It was in Munich and Bavaria. It was in Bavaria. Munich. München.
München. So, I mean, I don't know...
Hitler was in jail in 29, I think.
Like, I just don't know much about that period right there, you know?
The period between World War One and World War Two.
Well, what was going on, like, let's say, in like Berlin, you know?
Yeah, well, they were having the life of Riley being poor, so there are a lot of artists.
Yeah,
and they were living it up. I mean, it was a horrific war, so usually after those horrific wars, people enjoy themselves.
Yeah, so they show all there's all these crazy club scenes, and they're just doing like the flapper thing, and you know.
And then, for some reason, who usually does entertainment? Who usually creates entertainment and owns clubs and puts on shows?
My people.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And for the good reason, because it's creative and fun.
Right.
They have all the gold.
No. Why? German.
You know.
The German businesses had all the gold. Basically, they were poor Eastern European people who had settled in Germany and made a life for themselves. Well, Hitler needed a scapegoat, right? In order to rearm himself. He had to get the will of the people behind him. And in order to get the will of the people behind him, he blamed everything. The Depression, World War One, and debauch. And he blamed the Weimar Republic. And he said it was, what do they call that? Degeneracy.
Degeneracy?
And he blamed it all on Jews.
Degeneracy? Wait a second. That sounds like deplorables.
Yep.
Yeah. Bum, bum.
You see what's going on here?
I think it's because you guys wouldn't eat the knockwurst.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, it's good. Sehr gut.
Have you seen some of our food? We'll eat fucking anything. Gefilte fish? Come
you
on.
Had to, and now it's all a delicacy.
Gefilte fish
that's
gross.
What, no, yeah. But I mean, you know, whitefish salad, all that stuff was to preserve.
We couldn't even let our fucking bread rise, all
right? You're right.
Yeah. I don't care, but Kugel, all day. Lockies, all right.
Matzo ball soup, come on.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, I love
corned beef and cabbage, all right.
It's a lot of sodium.
I'll do it. Brisket, make me a nice brisket.
We can do a brisket. We do the brisket.
They make good food.
Do you like a good brisket with them?
If you guys don't mind reading subtitles, watch Babylon Berlin on Netflix. It's fucking great.
Oh, let's see. I got a list. I'm almost done with Love, the third season of Love, third and final season. I'm going to... freaking cry. I did not know this was the last season of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so good. If you never watched it.
It's an Apatow thing?
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Paul Rust and Gillian Jacobs.
Paul Rudd?
Paul Rust.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the little nerdy, beaky looking guy with the glasses. Mm-hmm. Oh, that new Pee-wee movie. He was in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm almost done with
Love. That Pee-wee movie.
I loved it. I thought it was good.
Me too. It was hilarious.
It was good. So I've almost finished with Love. I'm watching the Tupac Biggie thing. That is good.
I haven't gotten into that yet.
It's good as shit. I dropped Waco. Totally into this. Loving all the conspiracies. Bunk's on it, man. Bunk.
I love me some Bunk.
Love me some Bunk. He's on it too. I'm watching the Versace thing. Now they're into his childhood. Which
that
is
episode
creepy
was so creepy. His dad was molesting him and shit, right?
I didn't get to finish watching the end of it because Neil cleared the DVR. Neil cleared the DVR and I'd only watched 20 minutes of it. I was so mad.
They implied.
Okay, it seemed very creepy. Yeah, the way he made him a prince and gave him the master bedroom. So you saw what built up the psychosis that he had.
Absolutely.
So,
and then
his weird, grooming him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
That was really tripped out. And Alienist, I got my mom into that. So now my mom, she's texting me all about it. This show is so creepy. He's cutting these eyeballs out. It's nuts. So she's so into the Alienist. She won't watch it by herself. It scares the shit out of her. Baskets. Been amazing this year.
So it's so second
good.
Season, right?
Third.
This is the third?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck,
it's really
way
good.
Behind on
it. Do you watch that, Autumn?
No, I want to watch it.
Yeah. You would love
I
it.
I see it and I think,
so
man, this looks
you.
Good.
So for you. I'm telling you,
have
so
you guys
good.
Discussed the crashing finale yet?
No, on the show? I wasn't here.
I feel like I've been gone for so long.
No, we haven't.
I was going to ask if we've talked about it.
Mm-mm.
Did you watch it?
No.
Yeah.
So you haven't watched any of this season?
No, but you guys can talk about it all you want.
It's so, but you two guys have watched
yes,
all of this,
I watched
right?
the finale, yes.
Right, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, yes.
And
they set it up, I think, at the end so that they weren't sure if they were going to get another season.
You kind of left it.
You think?
Yeah, because he was just at that college and he was just doing his thing. And
true.
Then they didn't try and give you anything that was going to happen next.
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right.
But I'm so glad that there's more seasons.
Is Artie still on it?
Well, and that is, I was just about to bring it up, Artie, yeah. And there's an episode where... he gets, you know, pretty deep about his addictions
his addiction?
And stuff.
Yeah,
and I heard, Judd Apatow in an interview recently, and they were talking about that and just how he called Artie and he's like, look, you're going through this stuff now. I mean, do you want to get into this in real time? You know, how you are? And he was just like, yeah, let's just, that's pretty much how he is on the show is what his life is right now, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it made for a really good episode. That's for sure.
But I'll tell you what, when I was in the Bahamas, I rewatched a few from earlier in the season, and I watched the Bill Burr episode again.
Oh God, I loved it.
I haven't chest hurt laughing.
It was so funny.
He is so fucking great.
He is. I love Bill Burr.
And they're
I
out on
too.
The golf course.
Bill Burr is super fun,
and he's just like,
he's
what,
coming
you,
to town.
You never played golf
him.
Before.
Oh, yeah.
You put the ball down, you hit it like that, that's all you do. That's it. And then you get in the golf cart, and they're going through the other guy's game. It's just a quick clip, and he's like, we're cutting through, you cocksuckers.
I was like, I like F is for Family, but he should have his own HBO show.
Yeah.
He really should.
And he's really a great actor.
Yeah, he is.
Well, and I love Burr, and I saw him at the Punchline back in the day a lot. And then the last time I saw him at the Fox... It wasn't a great night.
He's transitioned, I think. His acting's better than his stand-up now, honestly.
And
well, he keeps his stand-up fresh because he does his podcast, so he's always got current shit going in his head.
That's true.
I check his podcast out infrequently, but when I do, I enjoy it.
I do too, yeah. Sometimes he goes off on these sports rants, and I don't know what
the
hell is going on.
I don't know anything about sports.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you've never seen Crashing or you're not going to see it, at least just watch the Bill Burr episode. It doesn't matter that you don't know what the hell's going on. I was on the floor dying again, and it was the second time I saw it.
That was a great episode.
Travis has trouble watching the show because there's so many uncomfortable moments.
So you must have hated Louie and Curb.
No. He can't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. No way.
Look, and I was thinking about...
He can barely watch The Office.
That's what I was saying. Yeah. I was thinking about you saying that the whole time I was watching it with my mom.
Hmm.
Just how cringy this would have made... I can't imagine how that was... Because, I mean, every episode is so cringy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know people... There are people that are like that who can't do it. And I just... like they must be normal.
My dad's like that, too. Well... And I remember an interview with Steve Carell saying, listen, if you in your life don't know anybody like Michael Scott, then you are Michael Scott.
That totally makes sense.
So if you don't know that guy, you are that guy. Right,
but we all know that guy. Yeah. We've all met that guy.
We do, but,
I've worked in radio for years. I've met that guy at every radio station I've worked at, except for here.
And that guy probably doesn't know another guy like that because he's that guy.
Right.
My mom texted me the other night. I watched the last episode. I cried.
Oh.
Oh, man, she made it all the way through.
She watched every bit of it.
I quit watching it after I think I quit. There were two seasons left. I had quit before that.
Yeah. You didn't make the wrong decision.
No.
I know. Because it was maybe my decision.
Maybe if you went to, like, if you stopped two seasons before the end and just went to the end.
No, I like the very last episode. I really like the girl that became the receptionist, and then she was on that show, Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Jenna Fischer?
No. Jenna Fischer was the original.
Ellie Kemper.
Yeah, she's funny.
I like her, too, yeah. And she is like that girl in everything she does, though.
Oh, right. And I saw Thor.
I saw Ragnarok, too.
It was fun.
So funny.
Loved it. Did you see it?
I know, but see, I don't watch a lot of those
movies. I know him.
At all.
I work with him. I know him from work.
It was
but
great.
Everybody was saying, look, if you don't watch those movies, just watch this one.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Because it's his
Loki's
humor.
Funny right. in it.
They said if you like Deadpool, you'll like this, right? Sort of.
The only complaint I have is that because of Deadpool and Guardians of the Galaxy,
everything's kind of like a goof.
They got to have the jokes. And there were some scenes where the jokes went on far too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the most part, I liked it because it was different.
Cate Blanchett was great.
She was excellent as the villainess or whatever. Yeah. But it had that Taiki Waititi. It had his quirky sense of humor all over it. That's what made it unique from any other Marvel movie. So I thought that was pretty cool.
And he did the voice of that, the one guy, right?
There. Yeah.
Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, he did.
I enjoyed it.
The Infinity Wars, did you know that was going to be rated R?
No.
I just read that the other
day.
Why,
they got titties in it?
No, graphic violence and graphic violence. Very grisly graphic violence,
oh,
they
sweet.
Say. Yeah.
Thanos.
Yeah.
He's got the power gauntlet, Infinity Gauntlet.
Josh Brolin
is playing him?
Yeah.
That's cool. All right. I'm going to speed through the rest of the show. So, no. I do want to kind of wrap up shortly. We've been on for a little bit. So
we want to talk about the Sopranos thing.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. But before we get there, I want to talk about The Walking Dead real quick.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll do it real quick. And Autumn, if you would like to elaborate and record something, I will gladly put it in the show.
Okay.
Because people love that, by the way. I've been getting a lot of good feedback. No, totally. You don't have to because we can talk about it for a minute here. But, I mean, if you really want to do one, feel free.
Okay.
Totally up to you, and I won't be mad if you don't.
Okay.
The audience will be disappointed. All right, so Jeff sent some notes, and this one cracked me up when I first saw it. There's a new character that shows up, Georgie. She shows up. And
pictures.
She and her two lesbian buddies have things to trade. They leave some crates. Fill these up and we'll give you the key to whatever. So they finally meet Georgie, and Georgie looks like a cross between, well, I'll put it in Jeff's words. Georgie, that Georgie chick on The Walking Dead looks like if George Burns and John Denver had a kid during Oh God. And since when?
True.
And since when is zombie blood flammable?
Yes.
Lucille caught on fire pretty easily. If zombie guts are so flammable, why not just switch to flamethrower? Now, Georgie is played by Jane Atkinson, who is in 24 and House of Cards, among other things, but she's a good actress. I enjoy her.
You think so?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
Is her name Georgie or Gertie?
Georgie.
It's Georgie? Okay, sorry.
And she... In the comic book, it's something else, but I don't recall what it is.
Oh, okay.
But this Jane, do you remember House of Cards, the Secretary of State, the woman?
Oh, yeah.
It was. She was in the first and second seasons?
She's been all of them.
Oh, okay.
She was the one that was running for president.
Yeah, and she was in 24.
Oh, okay. All right,
She ended up dating the guy with the white hair that ran CTU.
Yes.
Jack, come on, Jack. That was a good show. It went to shit, but it was a good show. So... Autumn, do you have anything to add? I mean, the show was the show. Negan and Rick, this ridiculous fight in a building. And there's
so cheap.
Zombies walking around, not biting anybody, by the way, but it's filled with zombies. And I'm just going to push him out of the way. And then he's got Lucille. Rick finds Lucille.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he only loses it. Or Negan gets it back or something. I don't know. I'm just yelling at the TV at this point. And there's portions of this episode where I'm not even paying anything where Maggie's talking to, what do you call her, Titsy McSullen?
I call her Sullen McBig Tits.
Yeah, Sullen McBig Tits.
I just call her Tits in my notes.
Yes. Anytime they're talking, I'm checking out. Like, and poor Michonne is stuck with these two. Michonne's kick-ass, and she's stuck with these losers.
Yeah.
And since I haven't watched...
Including Rick.
Well, yeah, but Rick's just angry now. Rick is no longer the leader. Maggie's the leader, and Rick is just the general. And he's just mad and angry. And he and Daryl had some, I love you, buddy. That was boring.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, God.
I can't believe Carl's dead. And
just whispering to each other.
Whisper, whisper, whisper. I'd fuck you if I weren't queer. And then
and lots of people, important people never die.
Yes.
Like, will never be shot. Like, billions of bullets being rained down Negan, on them, and they'll never get shot.
Rick runs Negan off the road, and Negan's in the car, and Rick has a machine gun. Shot at the car like 70 times. Not a hit. Mm-mm. And then he's running
he's 10
feet in front of Rick in that building, and Rick has his revolver out. Missed him every single time. Obviously, they're not killing him, but you don't need to go through all that bullshit.
No. It was funny, though. They did kind of call it out because Negan falls at one point, and Rick goes down to look for him, and he calls out to him like, are you dead? He said, I'm a cat, motherfucker.
I'm a cat, motherfucker.
Yeah, which is fun. But all the flaming zombies down in the basement, it was supposed to be Rick and Negan's fight.
Yeah.
Like, finally, they're meeting these two leaders. You know, Rick feels that Negan is responsible for Carl's death a little bit. And so this was it. But instead, they clouded all of that with flaming bats and zombies walking around. And not just zombies walking around trying to bite them, but now the zombies are on fire.
Yeah.
Like, get fire out of here, writers. Don't be so cheap.
Well, they are.
They are, which is really disappointing. It's like, I hate watch the show, but I keep expecting them to do better, and they never do.
Well, we will talk more about this next week.
No.
What a horrible segue.
Keep going.
No, I don't. I want to wrap it up.
I'm
just kidding. I don't want to go on either.
This next week.
If you do want to record something, feel free. If you don't worry about it.
I do want to say something I watched.
Okay, yes. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I watched RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars 3.
Cool.
The finale. And it came down to Bibi Zahara-Benet, she won the very first RuPaul's Drag Race season 1.
Uh-huh.
And then Kennedy Davenport, she's a great performer, but for some reason she doesn't have like it. Shangela Hallelujah. She was predicted to be number 2. And then Trixie Mattel, who's amazing and has this other whole career going on outside of everything. And she was predicted to be number 2. But they picked Kennedy and Trixie. And when they had to lip sync for their lip sync for their legacy, it came down to Trixie, and she won. And I'm so excited because Trixie Mattel is my favorite, and I was very, very, very excited. The end.
Awesome.
Also, I've been recording Celtic Women that's been on because the the telethon or whatever is happening. And Celtic Women
what
is
that?
The best.
Are these Celtic women?
They're these like these Irish women, and they talk to you a little bit in between the songs, and then they're like, and now we'd like to perform for you, whatever. Kneel forever,
oh my God.
You are.
They're using my song.
And they sway around. They have like a little bit of choreography where they just like sway around. Oh, and there's this like this violin player that goes around, and she's really emoting with every single like stroke of her cat gut, whatever that thing is called, a bow. And she like flits around a little bit like a nymph. When you see it on, you've got to look at it because it's so, so, so bad.
So right here.
It's so great though. It's the best.
All right, Ira, I saw that you put a game together, and we're not going to have time to get to it.
Come on, we'll do it quick. But check your email real quick.
Check my email real quick.
Yeah.
If you check your email, then you'll want to do it.
It'll juice you up.
I don't need juicing up.
I don't need it.
All right, I'm checking my email. You want to play the song?
What's your password?
Well, if we're not going to do the game, you don't have to play the song. Which one is the bigger bomb? Bigger bomb!
Bigger bomb! Bigger bomb! Whoa! That was...
All right, we have time to play this game because that song is awesome. John Mark Lindell, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. But we'll play the game, but staff picks will be quick.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, so no we'll seven that. Or eight picks.
You okay, get... fine.
And I won't fuck around with the game either. We've played this before, but I will describe what the game is. These are flops, bombs, if you will, movies that did not do good in a particular year. I'm going to give you the year, and then I'm going to put two movies, two flops that year that went up against each other.
All right, who plays?
And all
it's
of
the bigger flop.
Except for, well, you three, aside okay. from me.
All right.
So
and we picked the bigger flop?
You picked the bigger flop. Which movie you think is the bigger flop? Now, this is just the U.S. box office, not worldwide.
Okay, not worldwide gross.
All right. So,
okay, because I have that info in my brain, so I'll just...
speaking of gross.
I figured I'd just put that out there because I don't want people going, well, you didn't consider that in Belgium. Yay, game. Right. Anyway.
Steph, you can eat that whole box of Peeps?
You said you didn't want any, dude.
I'm
first
trying
of all, they're
good.
Peeps. Second
they're,
of all,
they're sour cherry.
Sour cherry. Peeps.
I normally think Peeps are disgusting. These are awesome.
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it.
You want to try and go?
I'll take one on the way home. Go ahead, Iris.
I'll take one on the way home. The year that I picked is the year 2000.
Oh, shit.
The
all
year
right.
2000. First
in
matchup.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive.
Now, remember, these are movies that did not do good at the U.S.
We have to guess the
office.
Bigger bomb. All right.
The first matchup I have is Reindeer Games. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Affleck. Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck and Charlize Theron. Up against.
And Gary Sinise.
Gary Sinise. Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't put that on there.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. Up against Little Nicky.
Little Nicky. Little Nicky.
The Adam Sandler.
Wait, how are we doing this? Are we ringing in?
So you guys pick which one you think lost more money. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
But remember, you got to take into account.
Wait, the rules, which one lost the most money?
Exactly. So it's not
who did the worst. Reindeer Games.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think about the budget versus.
Because those are big paychecks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So Reindeer Games was budgeted at $42 million. It had a domestic gross of $23 million.
Ooh,
that's a difference of $19 million loss. Little Nicky was budgeted at, this was very surprising, $80 million.
Damn. Well, he did have Harvey Keitel and had like a lot of Reese
really?
Witherspoon.
Rodney Dangerfield.
I don't
yeah,
remember.
Had a lot of
yeah.
Dana Carvey.
I domestic. Went and saw it in the movies.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't like.
I like it better now.
Most of Adam Sandler's stuff.
I like most of his movies too, so I'm sure that if I had a beer, I would enjoy it.
I liked Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah, that was good.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
And Spanglish? Anyway,
I like anger management.
So, budget of $80 million, domestic gross $39 million. That is a difference of $41 million. You're right. I don't know. You're wrong.
No,
Little Nicky
wrong.
Is
Little
the
Nicky.
Bigger
oh,
bomb
wow.
for that matchup.
Right. Well, that's what we wanted to say.
All right, next matchup. This is the Mars theme.
Ooh.
So that year, both Mission to Mars. Starring Gary Sinise again, and Tim Robbins.
I was in
directed
a lot back then.
by Brian De Palma. And also Red Planet was that year. Do you remember this one?
Yeah, wait, that was terrible.
Val Kilmer,
mm-hmm.
Tom Sizemore, who apparently got in a huge fist fight on the set of that.
Was he trying to force analingus on somebody?
Apparently it was a mess. Also an interesting story about Red Planet. I went to an Atlanta premiere of that. Ended up taking a piss at a urinal next to Ted Turner.
Oh.
Oh, pretty big penis you got there, boy.
My wife's like, what did you say to him? I'm like, I don't know. What do you say to Ted Turner at a fucking urinal?
Yeah, I really like the Braves.
All right. So what do you think? Mission to Mars or Red Planet?
Red Planet.
Red
bigger
Planet.
Is the bigger bomb, huh?
Red Planet.
Mm, I'm going to go against the grain and say Mission to Mars.
Mission to Mars was budgeted at $100 million. Domestic gross of $61 million. That's a difference of $39 million they lost there. Red Planet budgeted at $75 million. Domestic gross of only $17
million. Jesus, God.
So the bigger bomb was Red Planet.
Yeah!
$58 million.
In your face, Steph, you don't know shit.
Yeah.
Oh, brah.
All right, I'll give you one more.
These guys are so
all right,
cool.
One more.
But you'll like this one.
Okay.
Almost Famous came out in 2000.
Ooh,
do you remember that?
Yeah,
I love
that
movie.
Movie.
Great movie.
Yeah, I still like it.
It was a box office flop.
Of course it was.
Believe it or not. Up against, you're going to like this, Battlefield Earth.
Oh, my God.
Obviously,
Travolta.
I got to go with Battlefield Earth.
Think about it. Budget
I'm
going
to say wise, Almost Famous.
They had Harrier jets in that one.
In what? Not in Almost Famous.
No.
Carrier jets.
Well, I'm trying to think of the cast of Almost Famous.
Well, it would have been it would have been better.
You got your Kate Hudson. You got your Billy Crudup.
You got your Kate Hudson.
Know what?
She had like she had a negative A cup.
Yeah.
In Almost Famous, so I think that's probably what
Bless
hurt
her.
Him.
Is that what happened there? That's why it flopped, so to speak.
Not, no, it didn't really.
It didn't flop.
It just kind of sat there like aspirins on a chalkboard. I may be wrong, but I'm sticking with my original.
Is Battlefield Earth?
Yes.
Starring Travolta.
I say Almost Famous.
You say Almost Famous? And
yeah.
Forrest Whitaker. Steph? Battlefield Earth.
I say Battlefield Earth.
Yeah? Battlefield Earth budgeted $44 million. That's it.
Are you kidding?
No, that's what it said.
Yeah.
Domestic gross of $21 million. That's a difference of $23
wow.
million. Dollars. Almost Famous budgeted at $60 million. Domestic gross of $33 million, difference of $27 million. Almost Famous is the bigger flop at the box office.
Damn!
Even though that was a great movie.
Gotta suck the dick. It bombed. Which one is the bigger bomb? Which one is the
bigger bomb? Thank you, John Mark Lindell.
That was so good.
Yes, it was.
I'll tell you something about John Mark, by the way. He made that song within the last 3 hours.
Are you kidding?
Wow.
He played the drums and the guitar. And
drums, guitar, bass,
Whoa,
screams, and
amazing.
Bomb sounds.
Fucking A, man.
Well, because we were texting about it yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, well, I got to work tomorrow. I said, oh, don't worry about it, man. I said, it's just, you know, don't worry about it. And then he's texting me when he's coming home from work. He's like, all right, I got it.
Here you go. All right, I'm going to do my staff picks really, really
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, we'll do it quick.
Okay.
All right, my staff picks are this week's Mafia podcast is the first episode of two. About Donnie Brasco, and it features the guy who the Donnie Brasco is really the guy,
right?
Jim Galani or something like that. I don't remember. That might be I might be right there, Jim Galani. But Donnie Brasco is a film based on a real,
a good movie
guy who lived for 6 years with the Bonanno crime family. And then the other one is next Tuesday night.
What?
Next Tuesday night on ABC.
Oh, the interview.
No, the return of Roseanne.
Oh yeah.
Yay!
But come on, are you planning that's going to be decent?
I fucking love Roseanne.
Well, so do I, but...
Yes,
I feel like
good.
She wouldn't let things happen that weren't
no.
going to be good.
Okay,
she
okay,
wouldn't
good.
Bring it back if it was going to suck. Now, right, Will yeah. and Grace is getting its third season, or 13th, whatever, I don't know. And I never liked that show, so I don't know what that means. Anyway,
me neither. I'm not really
Here's
sure.
another example of something.
It means you're a heterosexual man.
Yeah, that. I don't like the gays.
I don't like that show. I like the gays.
Oh, Lord.
No, I do love gays. I love all the gays. So anyway, Roseanne's back and then that. So Steph, go ahead. You have 10 of them.
You said I can't do them.
Oh, you can if you do them quick.
All right. Okay. Okay. So my first one is a book.
Jeez, calm down. Calm down.
I thought I'd make Ira proud. I actually picked a book. The I'll Be Gone in the Dark, the Michelle Gross. McNamara story about the Golden State Killer.
Yeah,
Neil bought it for me because I was going on my trip and I read it on the plane, you know, most of it anyway. Like, what a great writer, man. She is just fucking, it's a great book. So if you want an interesting, really good book, that I'll Be Gone in the Dark is really good. She had great prose.
I'd be into
and
that.
It's an excellent book. That and then a podcast, This Is War, Wondery has
on
a new
Wondery?
One.
I haven't seen
you
it.
Would love this
What's
podcast.
What's it about?
It is all Iraqi and Gulf War vets.
Ooh.
And they, each week is a new guy telling his story. And the guy who narrates it, this Tony Russo guy, he does it in such a way, you know how they do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it just, every episode, it's very heavy. I mean, I've actually taken a break from murder casts to listen to these guys talk about getting their legs blown off and shit. You know, but it's so good. It really is. And because you don't really get to hear their stories that often. We're you know, we've always been in Vietnam and da-da-da, but these guys are... Whatever, but it's really good. And then my other thing is the Saturday Bill Hader's new show on HBO. I know we're all dying for it, Barry.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it's going to be so good. I heard him the other day on Marin, and he was so awesome. And this is going to be like a very dark comedy. You know, he plays a hitman.
Right.
But he's a very conflicted hitman, and it kind of goes along with my This Is War podcast because he's he was in the Marines, he was in the Iraq and all that shit. He comes out of there and doesn't really know what to do with himself because he was a good killer in there. He hates to do what he does. He hates it.
And it's all he knows how to do.
It's all he knows how to do, and it tears him apart every single time he does it. And so he kind of takes this acting class to try and break out of it.
Yeah.
So they
I thought it was because someone who needed to hit was taking the acting class too.
That you're right about that, Autumn. And then, but I think once he takes the acting class, he feels like this is maybe a way that this might be a way that he can maybe get out of this killing people thing,
right,
which
right.
you know, like it really does. It destroys him. And then my last thing is, and they haven't promoted this at all. I hardly ever see the promos for this. Next Monday night on AMC, this show, The Terror. And it's based on the book that this guy wrote back in 2007. And it's also based on a true story, I don't even know, a couple hundred years ago. These two ships crashed on a big chunk of ice. Everybody died. And they just recently found the ships, like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But this guy fictionalized it and said that they were all being killed by monsters.
Oh, wow.
And it looks fucking badass. They put a lot of money into the show.
All right.
So, but all right.
It's on AMC. I'll watch it.
The Terror on AMC. Yes.
I saw the preview for that. Yes.
But they're not promoing it
very
much.
No, it looks good, though.
And I read the reviews on it, and the reviews are awesome.
All right.
So, anyway.
The Terror.
Yes, The Terror.
Ira.
I'm going to be real simple. Billions is coming back this Sunday night on Showtime. Yeah. Fucking love that show. And I don't have Showtime right now, so I got to figure out. I had it
illegal
during the first two seasons.
Talk to
and,
Jeffy.
Real quick, while I was away, I listened to the Old Jews Telling Jokes audiobook. Are you familiar with that website?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Old Jews Telling Jokes? Yeah. It's fucking great. Anyway, I realized that they put an audiobook out where they just listed all the jokes, or just they just put them all in there. And what was interesting about it is they kind of, the guy that runs the site, kind of introed each joke and said, well, the guy that's telling this joke, he was a something-something designer. And, you know, like one guy worked for Sesame Street. And these are all old Jews telling these old, like, Jackie Mason type Rodney Dangerfield jokes.
Yeah,
so if you're looking for a good audiobook that'll just keep you, like, dying laughing the whole time, Old Jews Telling Jokes, the audiobook. That's it. That's what I got.
Otto Fisher.
Tim's throwing up.
I was going to say Nailed It, which is a Netflix show with Nicole Byer where people like take
crucify
Pinterest.
People.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You crucify people and see how it goes.
Nailed it.
I've been here for a week.
I watched the trailer for that. That looks good.
So yeah, they take like Pinterest fails basically. So you have to sort of do this complicated thing and it was pretty lame. It wasn't very good. Nicole Byer is on it, and she's so funny. And so if you want to watch it just for fun because she does a really great job, then
okay.
go for it. Otherwise, I found the Stevie Weeby show on YouTube.
Is that about Southside Steve?
Stevie Weeby.
No, that's his, it's about his baby.
Oh. Is it really?
No.
Oh.
Tim Andrews doesn't get sarcasm.
It's true.
It is not true.
No, so it's Steve Lee. It's Bobby Lee's brother.
Oh, all right.
And he's real interesting. And he had, well, I found it because he had Asa Akira on, and they're like best buddies because she's friends with both of them.
She a porn star?
Yeah.
Okay.
And anyway, so in one of the episodes earlier, the earlier episodes, he teaches you how to make a homemade fleshlight.
What?
With cornstarch, right?
And it looked pretty decent.
Of course you know.
What's that?
With cornstarch, right?
No. You take a Pringles can.
Yeah.
Tim did this
and,
for 7th grade
you
science
put, like,
project.
Dish sponges on either side.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
And then you put, like, a rubber glove over that and on the inside. And I think you stuff stuff underneath
that. Wait, slow it. I'm writing this down. Stop.
Yeah, sorry.
It's a double
it's
DIY.
Online. You can go look at it at your leisure. But yeah, it's just really fun. It's a fun little show to watch. And I think you can maybe download it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
That I will look for. Yeah. Thank you. I have a project.
All right, guys. Yeah. Thank you for all being here tonight, Steph.
All right. I was going to say, you better let me do my plug. That's why I drive the fuck out
do
here.
Do your fucking plug.
Okay. So
wait. Do your plug.
Okay. All right. Oh. So so Free Friday's at Gwinnett Animal Shelter this month. So if you come on Friday, the dogs and cats are free. Just
Holy
come in.
Shit. Go
roll
get a
up
dog.
On the set. Come and get them, and they are fully vetted. Even if they have heartworms, we'll treat them now. So all that shit. I mean, it's completely, you got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose. So come and get one of these dogs or cats. Also, this Saturday, Barktown's at the Spring Carnival at the Rose Animal Hospital in Roswell with a bunch of other great rescues like Angels Among Us and blah, 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 from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. That's this Saturday at the Barktown, at the Rose Animal Hospital in Roswell. And last thing, shout out to Dan Hall. I can't remember
Hall
which.
Hill?
maybe, I don't know, but when I was doing my adoption event at the Hollywood Feed a couple weeks ago, he shows up with his family. He's like, Steph? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I listen to Radio Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan. Blah, blah, blah. And wow. He, dude, was so cool.
That shit is working.
Came with his family, put $20 in our donation jar. Such a nice
Thanks,
dude.
Thanks, Dan.
I mean, he's awesome. And if I don't have your name right, dude, I'm so sorry. But you know who you are, and I'm so sorry. And the last thing is Random Lacey. Did you guys didn't mention her last week, did you?
No.
Random Lacey, she's one of our very loyal listeners. As she recently lost her husband very unexpectedly. And so I just wanted to tell her that we're very sorry, and that really sucks. So I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, definitely. I hope you are feeling better. Sorry to hear that.
But that's it.
Good.
I'm done.
What are you saying she's good done. About? You glad that she's done?
No.
We did good.
We did a good show.
We did do good.
We did great.
Sorry for the technical problems there, Autumn. We'll get it fixed up next week. Hopefully everybody will be back. That was a great game.
It was a great game. And that was a great song.
I had fun doing it with you guys.
I like you, Ira.
I like doing things like that.
All right. We will talk to you next week. Until then, please remember to
keep it canon.
Two Faces Radio.